And new 50,000-watt radio talk show, Between the Minutes, featuring politicians, businessmen, and professionals in the community. Between the Minutes is brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation, www.cyber.com. And now, here's the host of Between the Minutes, Peter Dottie.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest radio talk show, brought to you by Cybersoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Radotti. The first segment of Between the Minutes will feature Inside Your Computer. This is similar to my newspaper article, Inside Your Computer, in the Philadelphia Public Record, discussing many interesting topics about computer security. The infamous Zeus Trojan, which is used to rob bank accounts on the Internet, is one of the most successful crimeware programs in the world. It has been customized for many countries, languages, and to target different market segments. There is an entire underground industry to support Zeus, which includes selling support, custom programming, tweaks, and everything that is normal for a legitimate software program, but in this case, the objective is crime. In the past, purchasing the Zeus Crimeware software kit cost from $700 at the low end to $15,000 for the premium product. The $15,000 price tag kept non-technical wannabe criminals out of the Zeus bank robbing industry. This all changed in May of this year. The source code to Zeus was released to the public. This means that anyone who can figure out how to compile the program can now enter the Zeus criminal industry. Of course, antivirus companies and governments have all downloaded the source code and are examining it. So far, the code appears to be the real deal, the fully operational Zeus Trojan. Why would the criminals who are behind the Zeus program release the source code? There's two theories running around the antivirus industry. The first is that it was not deliberate. The second is that it was deliberate. People who belong to this second camp believe that the Zeus criminal masterminds will now make even more money supporting all of the wannabes that download the source but don't have the technical skills needed to support or customize the program. Even if this was not their intention, most people believe that this will be the final effect of the source code release. The general public will find out soon enough. If there is a sudden upturn in Zeus or Zeus-like attacks later this year, we know that the Zeus source code release is having an effect. What can you do to protect yourself? First, install a good antivirus program. You can download a free 30-day trial version of a good antivirus program from our sponsor's website at www.cyber.com. Next, make sure your computer is fully up to date with all of the patches offered. Make sure that your computer is set to automatically download and install patches in order to stay up to date. After that, you should be careful of anything that looks too good to be true or anywhere where an email or instant message or Facebook posting asks you to run a program. Just don't do it, and you'll save yourself a lot of potential problems. In wrapping up this week's segment of Inside Your Computer, I hope some of the subjects I spoke about were helpful to you. Make sure you read my article, Inside Your Computer, every Thursday in the Philadelphia Public Record newspaper. We'll be right back with today's guest on Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
Join the fun, the games, and an exciting good time for the entire family. Come to St. Mary's Polish Festival, Sunday, June 12th, from noon to 7 p.m., inside St. Mary's Church Hall, located at West Elm and Oak Streets in Conshohocken, Pennsylvania. St. Mary's Polish Festival features the best in Polish and American food. Come and enjoy pierogi stuffed with mashed potatoes, galumpki stuffed with cabbage, special Polish pretzels, kielbasa and sauerkraut, hot dogs, babka, and many, many more Polish specialties. Takeouts are available. There will be a silent auction, live music, dancing and crafts for everyone, young and old. So come one, come all to St. Mary's Polish Festival, Sunday, June 12th from noon to 7 p.m. inside the church hall under St. Mary's Church, located at West Elm and Oak Streets in Conshohocken, Pennsylvania.
Hi, this is Pete Radotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show. Let's talk about CyberSoft Operating Corporation. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. CyberSoft invented antivirus for Unix and Linux systems. With 20 years' experience, they support more systems than anyone, including Microsoft Windows. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. CyberSoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that's 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
Hi, this is Anthony Murphy, Executive Director of TownWatch Integrated Services, and Philadelphia needs you. We would like you to join the TownWatch group or start a TownWatch group in your community. To get in touch with me, you can reach me at 215-686-1459, or you can go to our website, www.townwatch.net, or you can go to philadelphia.gov, the Philadelphia website, and put in TownWatch, and you will find us and fill out an information slip. Philadelphia needs you. The impact on the quality of life, and help us to make sure that Philadelphia is a safer city. 215-686-1459. Thank you.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes, heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on Radio 1540 AM. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
The Tri-State Area's radio talk show, Between the Minutes, continues on Radio 1540 AM with your host, Peter Radotti.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State Area's new radio talk show featuring politicians, business people, and professionals. Between the Minutes is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. For the best in antivirus security, go to www.cyber.com. Let's get back to today's show and guest on Between the Minutes as I welcome Charles Hayes, the bank branch manager for Citizens Bank in Conshohocken.
Thanks, Pete.
Welcome back to the show. You were on before.
Yep.
And we were talking about all kinds of things, including banking fraud on the Internet.
That's correct.
What's new about banking fraud?
Well, there's a lot of things out there, and you were speaking about the Trojan virus a little earlier, and what I really kind of wanted to talk about today with you is different ways that customers can protect themselves or consumers can protect themselves against this type of fraud.
Okay.
So a couple of easy things that you can do: balance your checkbook. That seems to be the easiest way in order to detect it early.
All right. Well, now you can't just say that. You have to explain, what does balance your checkbook mean? You really mean reconciliation, right?
Correct. Okay. So you're going to reconcile your statement at the end of every month. Now, with online banking today, you can actually reconcile your statement on a daily basis, and that's really ideally what you would want to do. But a monthly basis is sufficient. You want to basically go through all your transactions, add up all your deposits, all your withdrawals, and then check them against the balance in your checkbook register.
Okay. So reconciliation basically is a matter of seeing that your totals in your checkbook and all of the checks that you wrote and fees that you paid along with the deposits you made agree with the bank.
That's exactly right.
So all you're doing by reconciling is making sure that what you believe you have and what the bank believes you have agrees.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then you just have to account for any transactions that have not come through yet, checks that you've written out or things that you know are going to be coming out in the month. You would just account for those as well.
Now, I reconcile my bank accounts. And, when it does reconcile the first time out, it's always a great pleasure and surprise.
Yep.
Usually it's off by some amount. And it could be off by some small amount like $5, but I have to go and find it. How do you know if it's just a mistake or if there's real fraud involved?
If you're going through your transactions on a monthly basis and last month everything balanced, the transactions that happened between the last statement cycle, you'll be able to check those. So if you're off by a small amount, it could just be maybe a posting error where when it went through the proof machine, the transaction posted for a different dollar amount. Generally speaking, fraud is going to be a little larger, though a lot of times when it comes to debit card fraud or ACH fraud, they'll try smaller transactions first.
So if somebody made a copy of your debit card,
yes,
they might try to grab $5 and see if anything happens. And if nothing happens, then try to grab $5,000.
Exactly. So basically what they'll try to do is a small transaction, see if that works. And if the card does work, then they'll try for a larger transaction.
But that actually requires people to remember what they bought.
Correct. So that's another big issue today, with debit cards.
Well, you might be at the mall and you decide to have lunch and lunch was an extra $6 that you didn't really bother remembering. And, of course, it doesn't say, mall, restaurant, or lunch. It says something or another, and you're looking at it and you say, who's ABXY company? And what did I buy from them for $6?
One of the ways that you can make sure that you keep track of those things correctly is just keep your receipts. You know, if you put them in your wallet or in your purse and, at the end of the night when you get home, just put them, in a drawer so that way when your bank statement does come or you get a chance to get into online banking and check it out, you're able to reconcile the transactions.
So even if you don't know who ABC Company is, you'll have a receipt for $6 and you'll say, oh, well, I really did buy something from them.
Exactly.
I just didn't know it was them.
Exactly.
Okay.
With online banking, you can actually check your transactions on a daily, minute-by-minute basis. All the transactions on there are live, so it's an opportunity. There's also a lot of features inside of online banking at all the major financial institutions that people aren't aware of. Some of them are online alerts where they can either email you or text message you if your balance goes above a certain amount or below a certain amount.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, waiting for a large deposit or if you're waiting for a large check to clear, you can actually put alerts in for that as well. You can actually put an alert in, that says, hey, if any transaction goes through over $1,000, send me a text message. So that way maybe just your mortgage or your rent would be the only thing that would trigger that. And then anything else, you would know, geez, that must be fraud. And you can go on the online banking and check it out to make sure.
Okay. Now, I do online banking.
Yep.
But my account is set up as read only.
Exactly. So in your case, the online banking that you have set up is set up so that way you can only look at transaction history. You cannot do any transfers between accounts inside your own accounts or outside of the bank itself. So, that's a good protection level to have, especially if you don't use online bill payment. Or you don't plan on transferring funds, or if in your case, I know you do go to the bank on a regular basis. If you do need to make a transfer, you can actually do that inside the branch, which I think is a good way to go.
Well, these days there's more banks than there are gas stations, so it's pretty easy to just go to the branch and take care of what I need to take care of.
Exactly, and in most cases, banks are open earlier or later. Almost all banks today have weekend hours. Some of them have Sunday hours. So the opportunity for a customer to get into the bank is there.
Okay. Now that brings up an interesting point, and we'll get back to online in a minute. But because I don't pay bills online
mm-hmm.
at all,
yep.
I pay bills in one of two ways. I either have reoccurring bills, which are automatically charged to my credit card.
Okay.
And by the way, my credit card, which it's not with your bank, but has the same thing. I can actually go in and look at my charges, and I could do that every day if I wanted to.
Okay.
Now, of course, I don't really know what all these charges are because there's other people who share my card with me, but at the end of the month, I know what they all are. And if there's an unusual charge, well, that'll stand out.
Exactly.
I'll know that one. But I pay most of my bills with checks.
Okay.
Just plain old-fashioned checks, and I put it in an envelope, and I put a stamp on it, and I mail it. What's the fraud with checks?
There's a lot of fraud out there with checks today. Check fraud's one of the largest challenges that businesses and consumers have with the advancement of computer technology. A fraudster could take the information from your paper check, your routing number and your account number, go to a local store that sells office supplies and mm-hmm. buy paper stock for checks. And with a computer program, they can actually create checks that look just like yours and print them out and write them out.
Wow. Now, I received a check the other day that had a watermark on it.
Okay.
And the watermark said something about, you know, if you can't see this watermark, it's invalid. Not exactly that, but I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, if somebody gave me a fake version of this check and it didn't have the watermark, how would I know? How would the bank know?
A lot of times they wouldn't, and in most cases the fraudsters would probably, if they've imaged that item into their computer, they would actually take that writing off. So even though it's on there and it is a good protection level to have, there's no guarantee that it would remain if somebody did decide to create fraudulent checks.
Okay. And they would, and even though the bank would know that that particular company's checks all had a watermark on it, mm-hmm. there's no automated way of just rejecting a check that doesn't have a watermark on it.
There is an automated way for businesses called Positive Pay, where they give the bank a list of the checks that they've written out.
Uh-huh.
And those checks are checked against any items that would come in. Anything that's not on the Positive Pay list will be rejected.
Now, that's something for like a larger company?
Generally for larger companies, because there is a cost associated with it.
Okay. So if somebody tried to write a check and it wasn't processed through Positive Pay, the check would just be rejected?
Correct. The check would be rejected.
Okay. What about if the check – let's say somebody wrote a check out for $5, but they weren't real careful about putting the line across and emptying out the space, and somebody took a pen and changed it from 5 to 5,000.
Another good point. There's a couple of fraud tips that we can give out there. You know, make sure that your checks are filled out completely, that you do put that little line across the end. Make sure that your checks are endorsed by the financial institution and they incorporate security features like the watermark or actually on the check line where you sign your name.
Mm-hmm.
In most cases, there's micro imprinting on there, and it actually says authorized signature. So it looks like a line, but it's really not.
Oh, wow.
Store your checks in a safe place. You know, you keep them locked up. Don't let other people have access to them. Especially, I know a lot of older customers have people come into their homes to clean or maybe nursing care, that type of thing. Make sure that they keep those checks, you know, in a locked place. Reconcile your bank statement every 30 days minimum. You can do it more often. I suggest doing it more often. But if you balance your checkbook on a monthly basis, you'll be able to find out if anything that you did not do came through. Never give your account number out to people that you don't know, especially over the telephone. There's been a lot of fraud cases out there where, you know, customers are contacted by quote unquote the bank to say, you know, we need to get some information from you. That's what they call phishing, where, you know, fraudster will call and collect little pieces of information each time until they get enough to commit fraud against the customer. So that's a huge important piece to watch out for.
Actually, that's getting really sophisticated. They have professional call centers involved in phishing now, and most of them are out of Mumbai, India.
Okay.
But these are professionals. I mean, very sophisticated-sounding people, very smooth, and they're criminals, and they know they're criminals, and they don't care. There's also tie-ins between the people who call you up and ask for information and emails. So you might get an email from a pharmaceutical company saying, you know, if you have diabetes and you're interested in this free cookbook, you know, click here. And you click there and it asks you for like your phone name, your phone number, and the address to send a cookbook to.
Yep.
You never get the cookbook, but you start getting phone calls.
You know, one of the interesting things about that is, one of the fraud stories I can tell real quick is sweepstakes fraud. So
you mean like a lottery?
Like the lottery, but this is more or less you know, something that you've entered. So if you think about when you're online and how many different things you enter, maybe to get a cookbook and maybe win a trip somewhere.
Okay.
You know, you're signing up for different things. One of the frauds that they have out there is they'll send a letter in the mail to you. You fill out your information online, and they'll tell you that you've won this sweepstakes, whatever it may be. You've mm-hmm. won a car, you've won a boat, you've won, you know, a trip here. And in the letter, it actually says that, you know, in order to collect this prize, we need you to send some sort of amount of money. You know, normally it's 10%, 20% of the actual winning amount to cover the taxes. That's what the letters say. Anytime that you win a prize, you will not have to pay taxes up front. So those are definitely scams.
You want to know how I handle that?
How?
I get these phone calls too. Okay. Oh, I wanted this. I wanted that. And I just say, I don't want it.
Okay.
And they say, what do you mean you don't want it? How could you not want a brand new car or vacation home or whatever? I said, well, I don't want it. I just don't want it. Sorry. Give it to somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if you look at it, anything that you enter online, unless it's from a reputable website that you're well aware of, you know, I would be very cautious about the things that you may enter, you know, at your local. We had an advertisement for a church that was having a fair. Mm-hmm. Those types of things, you're going to do that in person. You're going to get a little ticket stub. Those things are good.
Right.
It's the things that you enter online that I have a huge concern with.
Well, you don't even know who they are, like that cookbook thing.
Yep.
That came from a major pharmaceutical company that is involved in making medicine for diabetics.
Okay.
It didn't come from them.
Okay.
They just had their name on it.
Okay. All right.
And they had a website that was almost their name. You know, like when – you know, like when people want to buy the Rolex watches on the corner of the street, and it, instead of Rolex, it's Rolax.
Yep.
You know, R-O-L-A-X.
Close, but no cigar.
Right. So, you know, you have to be careful of all that stuff. There's another way I found of getting rid of these people besides saying I don't want it.
Okay.
Just whatever it is they're doing. Like I mentioned on the radio a while back about these Florida timeshare frauds,
yep.
Which are really going through the roof. And it's because Florida lets anybody who wants to see the titles. You can, I mean, anybody can go to and see who owns timeshares in Orange County.
Okay.
All right. So if you own a timeshare in Florida, you A, have money, and B, you're willing to spend some of it.
Okay.
Okay. So you're a prime target. So here's what I recommend to people, and it works. It gets them to stop bothering you right away. Tell them, I sold it.
Very good answer.
And then they leave you alone until the next time somebody goes down to the courthouse and looks at the records again.
I think that's a good suggestion.
Nothing else gets them off your back. You can tell them, you know, you're not supposed to be calling me or whatever. They don't care. They're not even in the United States. They don't care.
Yep.
But I sold it means you're not getting any money. And they just go away.
I think that's a good way to go.
Yeah. So, you know, what else can people do to not be the victim of fraud?
I think pay attention to the things that you are doing. So, you know, if you look at different types of internet fraud, eBay, you know, a lot of people buy things or sell things on eBay. More or less, if you sell something on eBay and somebody sends you money and they send too much, because that seems to be the biggest way that the fraudsters work. So, you know, if I have a story of a friend of mine that sold an ATV on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who bought it from him sent him a check and set it for $3,000, which is what he sold it for, sent him a check for $3,500. And he said, oh, well, you know, deposit the check. And it was, you know, a cashier's check, quote unquote. Deposit the check at your bank. It'll clear the next day. And then just wire me the money, the extra $500. That's definitely fraud. You know, the check, we put it into the bank for him. We put it on hold for 10 days just to make sure. It came back after the 5th as being no good.
Why 5 days?
Well, it took that long for the bank to get it cleared through the other bank to see if it was actually any good. But we put the hold on for 10 just because it could take that long for an item to come back for the bank to know whether it's
good. In the meanwhile, did your friend ship his ATV?
Nope.
Good for him.
He didn't ship the ATV, and we didn't wire any money to the fraudster.
Good for him.
That was definitely a good story.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I like that one. So, you know, what about paying taxes or other fees online? Or you already mentioned lottery or prize winnings.
Yeah, with sweepstakes. The other one is the lottery, which is real similar to the sweepstakes. You know, you get a letter in the mail that says you've won the overseas lottery. And, you know, it could be from Canada. It could be from Great Britain. It could be from anywhere. And they in the letter, it tells you how much you won and that the taxes are due on this money.
Don't you generally have to buy a ticket to enter one of these contests?
Generally, you do have to buy a ticket.
Yeah,
A lot of older people, you know, tend to forget, or a lot of younger people think that it's just a windfall.
Well, wait a minute. you just won the Irish sweepstakes, and you've never been to Ireland.
Exactly.
And you think that it's just a windfall?
Some people do. I mean, I've had people come into the bank with those letters.
Okay. If you're one of those people and you're listening right now, I have a bridge to sell you.
I think if the listeners out there have ever gotten those type of letters, you know, it'd be interesting to hear what they had to say, and if what they've done with those letters, if they've just thrown them away, or if they were actually maybe the victim of a scam like that.
Yeah.
Those types of things happen on a regular basis. Other types of fraud out there, hard to get loans where, you know, somebody maybe has some spotty credit history, mm-hmm. cannot get a loan mm-hmm. from a traditional financial institution, you know, goes online and finds a company, and that company may charge them a fee up front mm-hmm. in order to do the loan. And I'm not talking about a secured credit card or a secured loan, which is a different type of instrument, but they're being charged a fee and then they never get the loan. Generally, those companies want you, instead of maybe mailing them a check or giving them a credit card number, they want you to wire the money to them, because wiring money is final. You cannot get the money back once it's been wired.
Mm-hmm.
Other ones are, you know, the get-rich-quick schemes, the this is the investment opportunity of a lifetime, but we want you to wire us the money. You know, anytime that you're going to do any type of investment, number one, make sure that the people are licensed, and number two, make sure that if you do the investment, write them a check.
If you're not sure whether it's legitimate or not,
mm-hmm.
can people ask their bank, you know, hey, do you know anything about these people?
I think that's a great idea. You know, you ever hear the term get a second opinion?
Yeah.
You know, if something sounds too good to be true, generally it is. But financial institutions are out there to help customers. And, you know, they have people that are licensed for investments, or, you know, they understand about, you know, how banking transactions work. So that, you know, you can go into your local bank and just say, hey, look, this is something that came up. I'm thinking about maybe investing in it. Could you take a look at it for me?
Okay.
You know, and if the person at the branch can't, they can find somebody else that can.
All right. You're listening to Between the Minutes. I'm your host, Pete Berdotti. Our guest is Charles Hayes. He's a bank branch manager for Citizens Bank in Conshohocken. The show is live, and you can call in with questions in Pennsylvania, 610-667-9697. Again, that's 610-667-9697. In New Jersey, 877-667-9697. Again, that's 877-667-9697. Now, Charles, do you see any particular demographic that is hit more often with these frauds? Is it like younger people, older people, or is it across the board?
It's across the board, because there's so many different types of frauds out there, whether it be check fraud, credit card fraud, debit card fraud. There's just so many out there that it goes across the spectrum.
Okay. And I think we have a caller coming on now. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hey.
Uh-oh, it's Aunt Edna.
Hello, Aunt Edna.
Oh, hello. Who are you?
This is Charles Hayes.
Charles Hayes, what do you do?
I work at Citizens Bank.
He controls a lot of money, Aunt Edna.
Marry me! Well, sorry, that just slipped out. didn't mean to go that far.
That's okay.
Yeah. Actually, that's what I use to get rid of those online solicitors.
Uh-huh.
And they call, I go, I want you, I need you, marry me. They hang up.
Well, there's some good advice. I never thought of that.
Yep. Well, you know, you just got to be needy enough. You know what I mean? That sends most of them running.
There you go. So did you win any of these lotteries or anything that the fraudsters are putting out?
No, never won any of those. I'm not a woman with a big bank account, you know. I got one of those systems that they call. There's a very nice young man calls me up every time my account balance gets low.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're getting engaged next week. I'm not sure, but I think so.
I thought that was the pizza delivery man you were going to get engaged to.
Oh, no, that fell through. He didn't have enough dough.
Well, thank you for calling in, Edna.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, boy. Aunt Edna is always fun. So we were talking about fraud.
Yep.
But let's take a quick station break. You're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM and live on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. Brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. We'll be right back with more of Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
Join the fun, the games, and an exciting good time for the entire family. Come to St. Mary's Polish Festival, Sunday, June 12th, from noon to 7 p.m., inside St. Mary's Church Hall, located at West Elm and Oak Streets in Conshohocken, Pennsylvania. St. Mary's Polish Festival features the best in Polish and American food. Come and enjoy pierogi stuffed with mashed potatoes, galumpki stuffed with cabbage, special Polish pretzels, kielbasa and sauerkraut, hot dogs, babka, and many, many more Polish specialties. Takeouts are available. There will be a silent auction, live music, dancing and crafts for everyone, young and old. So come one, come all to St. Mary's Polish Festival, Sunday, June 12th from noon to 7 p.m. inside the church hall under St. Mary's Church, located at West Elm and Oak Streets in Conshohocken, Pennsylvania.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, talking to you about CyberSoft. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. Having 20 years of experience, CyberSoft protects many platforms, including Microsoft Windows. So for the best antivirus security, visit www.cyber.com. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. For the best in protection, remember, in any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4744. Or visit www.cyber.com. That's www.cyber.com.
America's men and women in uniform sacrifice every day for our country so we can continue to do the things we enjoy most, like playing soccer with our kids. But that's not an option for some families. I'm Devin McDavish, D.C. United Defender and two-time Humanitarian of the Year. For more than 140 years, the Armed Services YMCA has provided support for military families. Please join the ASYMCA in taking care of our soldiers' loved ones so they can continue to take care of us.
The Armed Services YMCA, serving those who serve America. ASYMCA.org.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes. Heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on Radio 1540 AM. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333 or email sales at betweentheminutes.com.
The Tri-State Area's radio talk show, Between the Minutes, continues on Radio 1540 AM with your host, Peter Rodotti.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State Area's new radio talk show featuring politicians, business people, and professionals. Our guest is Charles Hayes. He's a bank branch manager for Citizens Bank in Conshohocken, and we've been talking about fraud. So you mentioned a little bit about check fraud,
yep.
And I think credit card fraud is, well, mostly obvious, but, you know, exactly how does identity theft work?
Identity theft basically is when somebody steals your personal information and then basically becomes you on paper.
Well, you know, I hope they are on a diet, because if they want to become me, you know. But anyway, really, I mean, let's say they get hold of my Social Security number.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not my credit card number. What do they do with it?
With a Social Security number, they can open bank accounts. They can open credit card accounts. A lot of times what they actually like to do is to maybe take your Social Security number and your mailing address information and then go to the post office and change your address on you.
What?
So, you know, if you've ever moved and changed your
address,
you would have gotten a little notice in the mail at your old address that says, hey, look, you know, your address has been changed.
Wow.
Pay attention to those things, because that does happen quite often.
I've never heard of that one. That's a new one on me.
Yep, that does definitely.
And I guess then that means that they're getting all the checks and bills and everything else. And
exactly. So all your mail would be going to the fraudster rather than going to you.
Wow. That's nasty.
Yep. So if you tend not to get mail except junk mail, maybe go and check with the post office to see what your mailing address is.
Yeah. Okay. How do people make use of my credit card number? I mean, it's obvious that online nobody can swipe my card, but I heard that people can actually buy blank cards and program them with my number?
Correct. They can get blank card stock from a variety of different places.
Yeah.
Mostly on the internet. And they can actually program the card to, you know, carry your credit card information and then use that at a store.
Now, I'm told that there's actually a device about the size of a cigarette lighter that fits in your pocket that people can use to grab the information off of your credit card.
Correct. That's called a skimmer. And basically what the fraudsters will do is they'll take your credit card and they'll skim, you know, swipe the card through that little reader. It collects up all the information that's on your card, which is all the prevalent information, you know, the card number, the expiration date, your name. And they're able to create new cards from that. Or a lot of times what the person who actually maybe skims the information does is just sells the information online.
Okay. So is this the reason some stores always want to see the card?
Correct. I know we were at Lowe's the other day, and they wanted to actually see the physical card after we made the purchase.
So what are they looking at to see that it's not blank, that it actually says, you know, Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and a number?
Correct. And they're also looking at the back to make sure that you signed it. And they're taking the three-digit code off of the back of the card, and they're typing that into the keyboard.
What does signing the back of the card actually mean?
Really, they should compare your signature against that. I know on the back of mine I have it signed, but I also wrote next to it, please ask for ID. And I'm often surprised when I actually hand the card to a cashier. A lot of stores don't have that anymore where you actually swipe the card yourself,
right,
you know, rather than hand it. But when I do hand it to the cashier, I'm surprised how many times somebody does not ask me for ID.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of gives me a little bit of a concern.
Okay. So how do these thieves get my personal information other than, you know, phishing?
Another way they can get personal information is from your trash can. A huge way that they do that is because once you place your trash on the curb, it's considered public domain. And anybody can actually go through your trash and pick out things like credit card statements, bank statements, you know, letters from Social Security, all that type of information that you may throw away. So one of the big things that you can do to help prevent identity theft is shred any documentation with your personal information on it.
Okay. Now, I've noticed that there's all kinds of shredders, and some of them cost as little as $10. The $10 ones are usually hand crank, but all the office supply stores sell them for around $30.
Yeah, I mean, they're really inexpensive. I recommend a cross-cut shredder, which basically cross-cuts the pieces into little tiny pieces of
confetti. Yeah.
And you know, those are much, much harder to put back together again, especially if you mix it up with a bunch of other things.
Are thieves really so energetic that they would try to put it all back together?
I doubt it, but I wouldn't put anything past them.
Okay.
Another thing you can do is protect your Social Security number. Don't carry your Social Security card in your wallet in case you were to lose it. And only give the Social Security number out to things that definitely require it or need it.
Yeah. No one's asked me for my Social Security card or my draft card in so many years that I don't know why anybody would carry it.
Yeah, I don't think it makes sense. But there's some customers I've seen or some people I know carry it in their wallet. But it's definitely a suggestion to take it out of your wallet and put it in the lockbox at home.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm just still amazed. I wouldn't want to run through my trash. I mean, you know, half-eaten pieces of chicken and whatnot mixed in with the trash.
Yep.
The mind boggles. Okay. So what about these credit reports that you see advertised on the internet constantly?
It's something to definitely be concerned with is, you know, the credit report that you can get. The government actually allows you to get three credit report from the three major credit bureaus once a year. If you go to the Federal
Trade – And that's free?
And that's free. If you go to the Federal Trade Commission, FTC.gov, so www.ftc.gov, it talks about what is annualcreditreport.com. Annualcreditreport.com is the only authorized source for a free annual credit report that's yours by law. So it's www.annualcreditreport.com.
Is that for people and businesses or just people?
It would just be for consumers. Businesses that don't really have a credit report. They have, you know, they'll have trade reports or
like a Dun & Bradstreet report.
So there's not really a credit report out there for businesses, but they do have Dun & Bradstreet reports.
Okay.
Another way that a consumer can get a copy of their credit their actual credit report from the three major bureaus is to contact them directly. The names of the three are TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian.
And I know for a fact that we have links to all three of those on our show's website of www.betweentheminutes.com. Hit the button, it says links, and it's in there. So what do I do if I find out that my identity has been stolen?
Okay, so the first thing you want to do is contact any of the three major credit bureaus. You only have to contact one of them, and you want to put a fraud alert on your account.
Why only contact one?
Because they're going to disseminate the information to the other two.
They actually talk to each other.
Correct.
Okay.
Especially in this type of case.
Okay.
The other thing that you want to do is figure out, you know, how were you the victim of identity theft? Was it somebody that opened a credit card in your name, or did somebody, you know, take over your checking account? Depending upon what it is, will determine how you go about, fighting that. And say it was a credit card that was opened in your name that you didn't open and has a balance on there. You can write to the credit bureaus and dispute those transactions. You basically dispute the item that's on there. And then the company that issued the card will have to answer for, you know, who actually performed the transactions.
Okay. One of the other things that I heard of when somebody was really the victim of a vicious identity fraud attack was that they changed their answering machine message, the outgoing message, to say, I am the victim of identity fraud. Do not issue credit cards or loans in my name.
Okay.
And I thought that was pretty clever because what I heard was that this was somebody who was really being hit hard. They were getting messages 2 and 3 a day for a couple of weeks of, you know, this is so-and-so at, you know, the department store.
Yep.
And, you know, somebody was just here applying for a card in your name with your information, and we denied it because we heard your message.
I have a similar story. I had a friend of mine that works at another financial institution. Had gotten a phone call from the loan department at that bank, and they wanted to know why she was refinancing her mortgage.
Okay.
And she said, I am not. And here, fraudsters in Midwest somewhere had gone in and applied for a mortgage at a company out there to do a cash out refinance. And then they actually went through as far as to get the paperwork and send a payoff request to the bank that she actually worked at. And it just so happened that the loan department said, well, this is kind of weird because, you know, usually banks kind of give a little bit maybe preferential treatment or, you know, good rates or good deals for employees. Why would you go to another financial institution? And she said that I'm not. And that's how she became aware she was a victim of identity theft.
What would have happened if she hadn't had friends in the bank? And
the loan probably would have gone through. And, you know, they had fake identification and the people were arrested, so that was a good thing. But she would have had spent probably, you know, a year or 2 years trying to fight this and get her credit back on track again.
Why would she have to fight it when it was fraud?
Because credit is kind of a funny thing. It's kind of guilt until you're proven innocent versus, you know, in the courts in the United States, it's, you know, innocence until proven guilty. So you have to dispute anything that you did not do on your credit report. That's the consumer's responsibility.
And that's why the government allows you to get a free report once a year.
Correct. So, you know, there's three bureaus out there. I mean, my suggestion is every 4 months, contact one of them, and then just keep recycling it. So that way you're not doing all three at one time in the year.
Oh, that's clever.
And then that way, you know, you have every 4 months, you'll be able to get an idea of what your credit report looks like. If anybody's been applying for credit in your name, or even if you've applied for credit, it'll show up on there as well.
What about filing police reports?
If you are the victim of identity theft, the recommended step is to go to the local police department and file a police report.
Okay. You know, let's say the fraud is with my credit card,
mm-hmm.
okay, and I report the fraud to the Transworld or whoever.
Yeah.
And I call the credit card company up and I say, help me. Okay, I guess the first thing that happens is the account's closed.
Correct.
And then they give you a new card or whatever.
Correct. Now, if it's on your card, that's actually yours, not one that a fraudster opened. What they'll do is they'll close the card immediately. they'll issue you a new card, and then they'll send you an affidavit in the mail to sign saying that, hey, look, I didn't do this transaction, and then you'll send that back to them.
Okay. I know that very often with larger transactions, I'm asked for my driver's license. How do these guys get away, like with this house loan? They had to ask for a driver's license.
They had to ask for a driver's license, and because it was out of state, the people were not familiar with what a Pennsylvania driver's license looked like. You know, at the banks, we have these books that actually have all the licenses for, you know, all the states of, mm-hmm. of the union and the territories, so we can actually compare them against what they really should look like and where the, you know, where the watermarks are, where the
So these people just dummied up a driver's license on their, you know, computer printer and tried to pass it off.
Exactly.
And were almost successful.
Exactly. Yep.
How long do these people generally go to the jail for if they get caught?
That I don't know the answer to. You know,
I hope it's a long time.
I hope so too.
Because yeah. You know, you don't want them to just get a slap on the wrist and come back and keep doing it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. You know, another couple of things you can do is be alert to signs that require your immediate attention. So if the mail doesn't arrive at your house, if you get a credit card statement in the mail that you don't remember opening that credit card, that's definitely a sign that you should be, you know, maybe look at your credit report. Or if you start getting collection calls at your home that you don't remember being late on anything. Now, again, be cautious with those type of collection calls because when we talk about phishing, that's one way that the fish, you know, the people out there that do the phishing will try to get your personal information.
If I get something like that, I just immediately say, give me your address, and then I write them a letter disputing it.
Yep.
And I don't agree to anything. I just assume that a lot of that stuff is nasty because I pay my bills. That's it. If I can't afford it, I just don't buy it.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM, and you can also friend us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/BTMradio. More of Between the Minutes next on Radio 1540 AM.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
Join the fun, the games, and an exciting good time for the entire family. Come to St. Mary's Polish Festival, Sunday, June 12th, from noon to 7 p.m., inside St. Mary's Church Hall, located at West Elm and Oak Streets in Conshohocken, Pennsylvania. St. Mary's Polish Festival features the best in Polish and American food. Come and enjoy pierogi stuffed with mashed potatoes, galumpki stuffed with cabbage, special Polish pretzels, kielbasa and sauerkraut, hot dogs, babka, and many, many more Polish specialties. Takeouts are available. There will be a silent auction, live music, dancing and crafts for everyone, young and old. So come one, come all to St. Mary's Polish Festival, Sunday, June 12th from noon to 7 p.m. inside the church hall under St. Mary's Church, located at West Elm and Oak Streets in Conshohocken, Pennsylvania.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, talking to you about CyberSoft. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. Having 20 years of experience, CyberSoft protects many platforms, including Microsoft Windows. So for the best antivirus security, visit www.cyber.com. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. For the best in protection, remember, in any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4744. Or visit www.cyber.com. That's www.cyber.com.
Hi, this is Anthony Murphy, Executive Director of Town Watch Integrated Services, and Philadelphia needs you. We would like you to join the Town Watch group or start a Town Watch group in your community. To get in touch with me, you can reach me at 215-686-1459, or you can go to our website, www.townwatch.net, or you can go to philadelphia.gov, the Philadelphia website, and put in Town Watch, and you will find us and fill out an information slip. Philadelphia needs you to impact on the quality of life and help us to make sure that Philadelphia is a safer city. 215-686-1459. Thank you.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes, heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on Radio 1540 AM. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
The Tri-State Area's radio talk show, Between the Minutes, continues on Radio 1540 AM with your host, Peter Radotti.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes. I'm your host, Pete Radotti. We're talking with Charles Hayes. He's a bank branch manager for Citizens Bank in Conshohocken. And I want to talk a little bit about something from a movie I really liked, which is Catch Me If You Can.
Very great movie.
Yeah, that was great. And it was based on a real-life situation, a real guy and everything. Forgery, counterfeiting, alterations. Tell me about it.
All right. So, different types of check fraud that are out there. And if you remember from the movie, he had forgery where he would take checks and make up his own checks from one of the airlines. I don't remember which one it was. And he actually, was able to pass off millions of dollars worth of fraudulent checks because, back in the day, companies didn't have the availability of online or positive pay, those types of things. And he was able to get away with that a lot. Counterfeiting and alteration are another way that the fraudster can actually take items. Counterfeiting is kind of what we talked about before, which is they're going to print up fake checks, basically.
Yeah, but now they just print it up on their computer. In the movie, the guy actually went to a printing press in France somewhere
and actually printed checks that way.
Right.
The other one is called alteration. So if you get maybe checks in the mail on a monthly basis, somebody can actually take different types of chemicals and remove you as the payee and put themselves in. So that's another way that can happen. Paper hanging is basically people writing checks on closed accounts or reordering checks and then writing them on closed accounts. So even if you close an account out, you may want to make sure that you shred the old checkbooks.
Wow.
So, not that the checks will go through, but your name would be out there as...
No, I recently just found... I actually use a vault to keep my blank checks. And I was poking through the bank and I found a box of old checks, but the bank didn't exist anymore.
I would still destroy them. Most major stores that would accept a paper check, use check systems or another similar type of system to check to see if the checks are
good.
Wouldn't
they wouldn't actually know if that bank existed or not.
Exactly. So if you think about it, but if you go to a small mom and pop shop and wrote a check out, if they accept the checks, a lot of companies don't anymore. They would not be able to tell that. So, it's a good idea to just definitely destroy the checks.
Okay. What about check kiting?
Check kiting is basically where somebody would open accounts at multiple financial institutions and write checks out to themselves. I'm going to write a check from bank A to bank B for maybe $5,000. And then the next check I'm going to write it is from maybe bank B to bank C for maybe $10,000. And in the meantime, they're pulling money out, and what they're doing is we call it playing the float. So they're watching the checks kind of clear in a more quick basis, but the other financial institution may not know that the check isn't any good yet. So then maybe the bank clears checks overnight. That's basic check kiting where they're
now Citizens Bank clears checks pretty quickly. How quickly?
We'll clear them next business day, but the account has to be open for at least 25 days.
Okay.
And then it depends upon the relationship and the type of account.
Okay. So if it's an established customer, maybe things will go faster. But if it's just somebody walking in the street, they're not going to be able to do that because your policy is that you have to have 25 days.
Correct.
And
correct.
You clear everything overnight. So if somebody came in with a $10,000 check and it deposited it and then immediately wanted $500 out,
they would not be able to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, and it also depends upon, your normal transaction volume as well.
Okay. Okay, so what are some of the signs of bad checks?
All right, so a couple ways you can tell if a check's maybe no good is if the check lacks perforations, if their check number is missing.
You mean these check kits that you buy at the stationery supply store, you have to, cut them apart with a scissor or something?
Oftentimes, you have to cut them apart instead of, even if you get a pay stub and you get direct deposit, you can still rip them apart they're still perforated.
Right.
That could be a way. If they don't have a check number, often fake checks actually have a lot of misspellings, believe it or not.
Really? Why? Crooks can't spell?
Apparently crooks can't spell. Philadelphia is the biggest misspelled name I've seen out there. They miss letters. They add letters. So that's another way. If generally a company's writing you a check or somebody's sending you a check, the information is going to be correct on there.
Okay. Is there any way of let's say there is a check number. Is there any way of telling if the check number is a legitimate check number or not?
Not the check number itself, but you can actually check the bottom of the check for the micro encoding. It'll have the routing number and the account number at the bottom of the check.
Okay.
If you go to Google and type in the routing number, it'll come up and tell you what financial institution it is.
Okay. What about the addresses on the check?
If the address is missing or if the address of the bank is missing, mm-hmm. that can be a concern. Or if there's no bank listed, checks basically have five parts. They got to have a date. They got to have an amount. They got to have a payee. They also have to have the name of the financial institution on the check itself.
Okay. Any other important tips for our listeners?
Be vigilant and pay attention to your accounts.
And probably more now than ever before, huh?
Exactly.
It seems like fraud and crime is just going through the roof unbelievably.
It happens more and more every day, and I'm definitely seeing an increase.
Wow. That's a shame because everybody pays for it. It's not just the bank, but the bank's customers probably get a little less interest or a little more inconvenience because of all of this.
Correct.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM and on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com, brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. We'll be back next week with more of Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM.
The preceding program was brought to you by the CyberSoft Operating Corporation.
With the Animal Research Minute, I'm Paul McKillops in Washington. In 1901, 14-year-old Otto Orkin borrowed 50 cents from his parents to start a business. He made a poison bait to help farmers around Allentown, Pennsylvania get rid of rats. You know, the Center for Disease Control says rats bite more than 45,000 people each year, and the World Health Organization says rats contaminate and destroy enough food each year to feed 200 million people. Our U.S. rat population is estimated to be one rat for every person. Yikes, I say knock out rats, all of them, right? Well, maybe not. Scientists breed what's called knockout mice and knockout rats. By knocking out a gene, they learn what a gene controls. From cancer to asthma, many of the conditions we're born with or acquire are at least partially programmed into our genes. As scientists study diseases, knockout mice and rats allow them to look at how the presence or absence of a gene affects our health. To learn more about animals and research, visit fbresearch.org.
New World Radio, AM 1540. WNWR, Philadelphia.
If you're like me, you're looking for ways to save money on gas and help the environment. That's why you want to know about the EPA's smart driving tips. Tips that could give you more miles per gallon of gas and reduce air pollution. Like making sure your tires are properly inflated and replacing your air filter regularly.